fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Let's hit the waiver wire.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and T.
Waiver wire for Fantasy Week 8. What's up, everybody? Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath. All right, we haven't talked about this yet. This is our little production meeting on the air. Waiver wire is pretty lousy this week, huh?
I think there's some decent talent at wide receiver.
It's kind of it kind of sucks because like this is the first week with of Binado,
right?
And you probably need to go make a lot of pickups off the waiver wire, and yes, it's a bad week for the waiver wire.
Should have prepared a week in advance.
What's up, Jamie?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm pretty good. I won the bet.
You did. So what song is Heath going to sing?
Is Heath aware of the bet?
He is not aware.
All right. Well,
he
hey,
not
Heath.
Told him. Heath, there's something you should know from Friday's podcast.
Okay.
We made a bet.
Okay.
On who would be the better fantasy receiver between Marquise Goodwin and DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
And the winner gets to choose what song you sing.
I already have a bet about me singing a song.
No, you have to.
You're not involved really in this bet other than the end result. So Adam gets to pick a song that you
so
get to sing.
So here was the one of the options for the bet was that if Adam won, Dave and I were going to have to buy him an Indochino suit. And then if he won, he was going to have to split paying for half of us having a suit.
Okay.
And they both didn't like that one. Yeah. So was it me that said that Heath has to sing?
Yeah.
So I put it on you. So you have to sing and we get to pick the song that you sing.
Yeah, well, I don't think Adam gets to pick.
I don't.
Well, no, for the winner.
I don't think I'm going to agree to this. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Well, lunch
well, we
is on Dave
like
and Jamie.
Like Adam does.
Huh? Lunch is on Dave and Jamie when I get down to Florida next time. So
sure.
Good Dave for Marquise Goodwin. Yeah. So listen, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Miami, the Rams, San Francisco, and the Giants are on bye this week. At least you're not losing like a ton of high end talent. If you were going to pick six teams, it could be worse than this to be on bye. We will talk waiver wire. We're going to talk about Devontae Booker, who is 71% owned, and C.J. Anderson, and the rest of last night's action, and plenty, plenty more. The Drop-O-Meter, and of course, everybody's least favorite or most favorite segment, Team Name Tuesday, because today's Tuesday. First, who are your top three waiver wire priorities? Let's start with Dave Richard.
I think Devontae Adams and Ty Montgomery have to be at the top of the list. Just the way that they've been playing and the roles looking forward for Green Bay. They're 1-1A, and believe it or not, Adams is out there in more leagues than Montgomery, and Adams is the one scoring touchdowns. He hasn't been a great catch magnet. That really changed this past week. I think it continues. I think Devontae Adams is going to be a thing in fantasy. So I'm going to say those two. And does Jack Doyle still count? Can I still get Jack Doyle in a couple of leagues?
Oh, I was very surprised. Jamie had Jack Doyle third on his tight end list. I'm guessing
he's playing Kansas City this week.
Yeah,
so
but you know what? Houston and Tennessee were really good against tight ends before they met Jack Doyle.
Yeah, I like Doyle too just because of the volume. And if I need a running back, it's Asiata.
Jamie, was it just the matchup why you put Doyle behind Vernon Davis and CJ Fedorowicz?
Yeah, I'm not going to start him this week, so... And we don't know when Dwayne Allen's going to be back. So if I have the choice of who to pick up, I'm going to pick up Vernon Davis this week over Jack Doyle.
But if Jordan Reed's back, do you want Vernon Davis?
Same thing. Yeah, right. I mean, that factors. I just don't expect Jordan Reed to play.
It's just a terrible...
They're going to London. I don't know why they would play him. Let him have another week off. He comes back after their bye week. Just makes more sense.
All right. But what I said, Jamie, about Houston and Tennessee both being pretty good against tight ends and then, you know, Jack Doyle... And we know it, you know, year after year, whenever Dwayne Allen's out, the other guy does well. Does that give you more hope? You said you're sitting Jack Doyle this week. Does that give you more hope that he's been good the last 2 weeks?
Oh, he's been very good. I mean, but obviously Kansas City knows that too. And so I think you see what they're able to do against tight ends. And again, I was saying it for the last couple of years, that Eric Berry's just one of the best cover safeties in the NFL. And they just eliminate tight ends. So I think with the way that Indianapolis is going to play, they know where they're going to go.
All right, who else? Jamie, I'll go to you. Dave said Devontae Adams, Jack Doyle, and Ty Montgomery. Give me some more names.
I mean, it's tough, you know, with the way the week is. I think C.J. Fedorowicz has a chance this week. You know, I mean, you've seen 3 weeks now or 4 weeks now of consistent targets from him. If you're stuck, Asiata, especially McKinnon, may not play with the ankle injury. So that could be a big boost for him in what should be a favorable matchup. And if you need a quarterback, I think Alex Smith is probably your best bet, but it's an ugly bet.
Yeah, there are a couple of really lousy fantasy quarterbacks that are facing two teams that have given up 20 or more fantasy points to every quarterback they've faced. We're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, and is it Simeon or is it Osweiler? One of the bums from last night.
Osweiler's got the Lions.
Osweiler has
yeah, so it's Fitzpatrick and Osweiler.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think it's even close. I think it has to be Fitzpatrick. Like, I get that Ryan Fitzpatrick's had a dreadful start to the year, but Brock Osweiler looks like one of the worst quarterbacks. If he plays a full 16 games, he's going to have one of the worst 16-game seasons ever.
I just wonder if the Jets are going to do what they did last week, which is just lean on Matt Forte and not throw the ball as much as they have to.
And Bill O'Brien said after the game last night that they've got to get the passing game fixed, and he used it almost in the same sentence he talked about Detroit. So he's already moving forward. He knows that the passing game is going to be a priority. If Darius Slay is out for the Lions, it's Osweiler for me. I'll take him over Fitzpatrick. It's crazy to
really?
Say it's Fitzpatrick. Absolutely.
Dude,
because
it's Cleveland.
I know, but it's Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, but it's Osweiler.
Fitzpatrick is better than Osweiler.
Yeah, it's the Lions. They both have great matchups. It comes down to who you trust more.
I think Fitzpatrick over Osweiler just because Osweiler looks like garbage. But look, if you're stuck starting these guys, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that means that Ben Roethlisberger and Eli Manning are your quarterbacks because those are the guys on bye.
And you know what? I think on the Brandon LaFell note from last week, Quincy Enunwa, who is in Jamie's waiver wire column and is in the notes today, is not the worst option because every game it's two guys scoring double-digit fantasy points against Cleveland, whether that's two receivers or two tight ends. It ain't gonna, or one tight end, one receiver. It's not gonna be a tight end for the Jets. So, all right, we can talk about Enunwa. Heath, who do you like?
Well, this is really cool going third on the worst waiver wire week of the year. I think stick at running back. I'm really hopeful Dwayne Washington's going to come back this week, and I think he'll get a good crack at the job if he does. Houston's run defense was terrible last night against Denver. That whole Washington situation, you can speculate on that if you want to. I think Chris Thompson in PPR is probably going to be a borderline startable guy this week just because of how bad the running back position is with all these buys.
Who's the best long-term stash? Dave, you talked about Dorial Green-Beckham on Friday's show. He caught a touchdown against Minnesota. Do you still like him as a long-term stash?
I do, but he's not my favorite of the guys that are available. Kenneth Dixon's still on the list, and it's getting a little bit harder for him, but John Harbaugh talked him up on Monday, rather, saying that they're going to try and get him involved a little bit more. But how about Paul Perkins with the Giants? Is there any doubt that he's the best running back that they have? Actually got into a conversation with Brady Quinn about Paul Perkins. He thinks there's no question that Perkins is the best running back for the G-men, but he also thinks that there are things that Paul Perkins didn't do in college, like run inside. They didn't do that a lot at UCLA that he thinks Perkins is capable of doing and is capable of showing. So if Dixon's already stashed in your league, or if you just don't want to deal with the Ravens backfield, I think Paul Perkins could get a real nice opportunity coming out of the bye.
Heath, you can go second here. Anybody you want to stash? And I guess you can go back to the Redskins running backs or wherever you want to go with this.
I'm kind of thinking maybe James Starks.
Oh, yeah. Nice one.
Because he could be a guy that 3 weeks from now, you're coming down the stretch for the playoffs, and all of a sudden he's a number one running back with 15-plus touches.
And Jamie, anyone for you?
I think still Bilal Powell. At some point, Forte, if he gets all this work, is going to break down. So I'm not going to dump him just yet.
Okay. I want to say one thing about Paul Perkins, Dave. We didn't mention this. He was a guy because of class. Some schools are different.
Right. He couldn't practice in minicamp.
Right. So he got a late start with the team. I think, bye week, catch up on, I don't know if there's anything else he has to learn, but could be a good week for him. And yeah,
right.
There's a lot of Paul Perkins momentum out there. I wish I had picked him up last week. All right, guys. So we'll take a closer look at the waiver wire, talk about how much fab dollars we would use, but is there anybody you'd break the bank on? Anybody that you'd spend more than 20% of your budget on, your remaining budget on this week?
No.
Not
what about
Devontae
if you're
Adams?
In a PPR league? Right, one of those Packers receivers.
I think if you really believe that Devontae Adams is going to be worth that much fab, then you pretty much have to believe that Jordy Nelson's done being a good receiver. And I don't see a situation where Adams, Cobb, and Nelson are all now, they might all be top 20 guys this week at Atlanta, although you got Ty Montgomery in there too.
Yeah, but if Montgomery's doing his thing in the backfield, then there's definitely room for all of them to continue to put up numbers.
That's going to be really curious. Is the extra 10 days enough to where Niall Davis gets a few more carries?
Let's get into the rest of the show. It was a low-scoring week for quarterbacks. Not sure this needs much analysis, but I thought it was interesting. Andrew Luck led the way with 33 fantasy points and 6 points per passing touchdown leagues. That was the lowest amount of points for the number one quarterback in any week so far. And Ryan Tannehill was number 12 this week with only 18 fantasy points, and that's low. It's usually around 22. Whatever. But here's a cool stat of the day and an email of the day. The email is from Brad. And where's Brad from, Dave?
Piscataway, New Jersey.
No, I put it in the notes. I wanted you to pronounce the name of the city because I have no idea how to pronounce it. Ankeny, Iowa? Ankeny? A-N-K-E-N-Y?
Sure. Sounds great.
Okay. But this is from the Miami Herald. Pro Football Focus said that Jay Ajayi has broken as many tackles on 54 handoffs the past 2 weeks as Ezekiel Elliott has broken in 148 touches all season long. Wow. What do you think about that?
He's been running like a man possessed, and I certainly didn't value him enough coming into the game against Buffalo. He looked outstanding in that game, and the line did too. He has more rushing yards in his last two games than Todd Gurley has all season.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That's the 2016 fantasy football year in a nutshell. A guy that we were all writing off come late August because Arian Foster was supposed to be the main guy in Miami has turned out to be very, very good. And a lot of people are ready to trade him. They've got a 2-week window now. If they want to try and sell high on Ajayi, I am sure you will find somebody willing to give you something nice for him.
All right, well, let me get into the email then, because the email from
there's
Brad,
more to the email. Oh, I thought we just wanted to talk about where he was from.
I am looking to sell high on Jay Ajayi. What caliber wide receiver should I target? With and without me also throwing in a guy like Will Fuller. I'm not sure you're going to get much for Fuller. So let's just say what would you try to get at wide receiver for Jay Ajayi right now?
Oh, I've seen Brandon Cooks, Amari Cooper, Brandon Marshall, you know, that second tier of guys after the first group of, you know, the ones who were drafted. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is probably a fair deal at this point, given his struggles. You're talking about a guy that's playing behind one of the best offensive lines in football right now. And I know that's probably knee-jerk to say after 2 weeks, but the pedigree for those guys is there. You know, I know I said this last week, and again, it still feels knee-jerk even after the second straight game of them beating up a good run defense. But that unit could be great, and, you know, they're still going to lean on him. It makes it probably a little bit more comfortable if you're the Ajayi owner, knowing that Foster's out of the picture, even though Damian Williams has stolen a little bit of production over the last couple games. But I think Ajayi is clear-cut the number one guy on that team. He's the focal point of the offense. He's going to be fresh coming off their bye week. And I was just listening to Brandon Albert on a radio interview this morning, a local radio show in South Florida. And he said, you know, they feel just like they're all in unison, you know, just working together, getting off their blocks. They know what they're doing. And he said they wish, you know, he talked about his illness that led to him missing a game, the tonsil falling out of the shower. He said he wished they had that Tennessee game back where all five guys were there because they feel if they were together, this would have started a week earlier.
All right. So you're only selling Ajayi if you're getting a guy that we were taking in, you know, round two or something like that before the season started? Maybe three?
I would, yeah. I mean, I don't know why I would give up on him at this point.
I want a top 10 wide receiver if I'm trading him for a wide receiver.
But you're not going to get a top 5 wide receiver. There's no way you're going to get, you know, Antonio Brown or Mike Evans.
If you're the Ajayi owner and the Hopkins owner approaches you, do you make that trade?
It depends on my team, but assuming Ajayi's my third or
you drafted
fourth
Keenan
or
Allen, you drafted.
Yeah, I'm making the move. Yeah. I think I've already gotten the best out of Ajayi, and one of those games he was on my bench.
You do it, Jordy Nelson?
Probably not.
That's a tougher one to do.
It's funny.
And you look at the schedule for the Dolphins moving forward. There are some tough matchups.
They've
got two left against the Jets. Mm-hmm. At San Diego has turned into a tougher matchup. At LA, the Rams' defensive line should be better by then. But then they've also got San Francisco at Baltimore. Arizona in week 14. That's going to be tough.
At Buffalo in week 16. We know we can't run against Buffalo.
All right, let me ask you this because you mentioned some of the tougher matchups there. They do this, not 200 yards rushing for him, but that offensive line does this again, two games in a row, three games in a row after their bye week. Do we start to think of not Ajayi the same level, but the Dallas situation where you're never benching Ezekiel Elliott because that offensive line is so good or even worried about it?
Right. Yeah.
It just takes one more game. They do it against the Jets. They do it against the Jets.
One more for you? That's what it is.
They do it. I mean, and right now I think he's going to be ranked in the top 10 as long as he's healthy and the Dolphins are healthy.
Are you guys worried about health for not just Ajayi because he's got a track record of knee issues and he was hurt in training camp, but also the offensive line?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Could that offensive line, Brandon Albert.
Well, clearly the minute that one of those guys gets out of the picture. We've seen it. You know, there was a 5-game sample size of them not being together.
Right.
And, you know, it is what it is. Now, it could come down to which one it is, because I think the left side of that line could be among the best left sides, center to left, in football.
Yes.
Now, the right side is the questionable side, because Bushrod's bounced around the league and Juwan James has been in and out of their lineup. So we'll see. I think, though, as long as you have those three guys, Pouncey, Tunsil, Albert, Ajayi could be good. And it's funny because, Adam, you mentioned the Pro Football Focus stats. The offensive line wasn't exactly graded as well.
Oh, no?
No, which is the funny part. So, you know, it just how you buy into grades. But I think you see what this team could be, what their identity could be, what Ajayi could be when those five guys are healthy.
All right, and I wanted to make a correction from something that I totally whiffed on yesterday, got called out for it. I was talking about Joshua Jackson's character in Dawson's Creek. I called him Paisley. I don't know who that is. His name, of course, was Pacey. But I think this does prove, guys, that I have never watched Dawson's Creek, and I am proud to say that.
I had no, when you said Paisley, I had no idea what you were talking about. You said Pacey today. I still have no idea what you were talking about. whatever.
Okay, well, yeah, no Dawson's Creek for me. I do want to need to tell everybody about our new podcast. Now, we have some really awesome video shows on CBSSports.com. They run live on weeknights, and some are 5 days a week, some are a little less, but we have Pro Football Rundown, College Football Rundown, the Jonah Carey Baseball Show, and Writer Than You. We also have NBA Crossover. These are all podcasts now. We're taking the audio, we're putting them in iTunes and anywhere else you can get podcasts. So if you want to hear these great shows, I mean, this is basically like getting a daily football podcast or college football for the NFL. The Jonah Carey Baseball Show is once a week. NBA Crossover is going to be, I'm not quite sure what that is, but that's a really good one. We have some former players on these. It's great content. And if you want to hear these podcasts, they're usually available the morning after. but check those out. Go to cbssports.com/podcast. That page isn't quite updated yet, but it will be soon. And, who's going to win the World Series? I got the Cubs in five. Sorry, Cubs fans, I bonanzaed you, but I got the Cubs in five.
As a White Sox fan, this is about the worst matchup in the World Series you could ask for. But as a Chicago guy who knows a lot of Cubs fans, and as a guy who loves sports history, I think it would be cool as hell to see the Cubs win a World Series. And that's a lot easier for a White Sox fan to say after the White Sox won the World Series. Just as I'm sure you would say, Heath, a Royals fan, watching the Royals win the World Series, it's a lot easier to take two teams with, you know, this long-standing record of not winning a World Series playing for
And the Cubs have always probably been my second favorite team just because Cardinals fans hate them. Mm-hmm. And so
right. That makes the enemy easy. Of my enemy is my friend.
Right. So I'll go Cubs in six.
This is the most I've talked about baseball in about 3 years.
Well, we need a prediction, Dave.
I'm going to say Cubs in five. They clinch at Wrigley.
Okay. Jamie?
Cubs in six.
Cubs in six. Cubs in six. Cubs in five. Cubs in five. Denver.
Kiss of death.
Denver 27, Houston 9.
I'll take Denver.
Yeah. Right tackle for Houston, Derek Newton, tore the patella tendons in both knees, so that sucks and feel bad for him. Lamar Miller, doesn't seem serious. He was in and out after hurting his shoulder. Let's hope he is fine for Detroit this week. But you know what? First of all, I want to give you guys credit on CJ Anderson. I was nervous, but started him, and he won me a couple of leagues. And Devontae Booker, obviously, we need to talk about. Is there anything you want to discuss with the Texans right now? Yeah, go for it. Floor is yours.
The worst fumble I've ever seen, besides
it was bad.
How was that even a fumble?
Because the ball was out of his hand before
he
it was going
a spiral.
Then it was the best fumble you've ever seen.
It was so stupid.
Yeah, the Texans really stunk. I think they bounce back next week against Detroit. It's a get-right game for them. They're still in it for their division. The AFC South is wide open, so I think they can come back and play well. I was impressed by the play of A.J. Bouye. I think he did well. And I think Fuller has a big game next week. I think Hopkins has a big game. It's part of the reason why I like Osweiler. And I think Lamar Miller can bounce back, too. So I would not judge all the Texans off this game, but it's clear that you can kind of rank these guys based on their opponent from week to week. And when Osweiler's got an easy opponent, he's got a shot to put up some decent numbers. And when he's got a tough opponent, you know he's going to suck.
Yeah. And that's how I feel about Will Fuller. You know, I mentioned him as a buy-low candidate last week, but I said after this game, people might drop him. You guys even brought that up. People might drop Will Fuller. He's had three bad games. They were at New England on Thursday, at Minnesota, and at Denver. And that's tough. So I don't know. I think he's good. What was interesting to me, though, is that Hopkins got 12 targets yesterday. He got 15 with Fuller out, but 12 yesterday. And that, I'm pretty sure, is the most Hopkins has had all season in a game with Will Fuller. Do you think it's going to be a concerted effort to go back to Hopkins, and maybe that would hurt Will Fuller going forward?
Well, I mean, I think it was in this game. I don't know how much longer it can be, considering how much worse Osweiler's been when throwing to Hopkins. Like, it's not working. Teams are concentrating their efforts on covering DeAndre Hopkins. They're putting their best corner on him, and Brock Osweiler's not the type of quarterback that can force the ball. I don't know.
The Broncos knew what they were doing with Osweiler, too. In fact, one of the defenders, I think it was Chris Harris, said it yesterday after the game, that when you take away his number one read, he gets nervous in the pocket about making that second read. So that's something that they've got to work on with him. But it also comes down to how talented a defense it is. And Denver can pretty much do whatever they want. Their defense is great, and they proved it last night. And I think it's going to be a completely different story for Houston, Detroit going into their bye, and then they're at Jacksonville in week 10. That's going to be interesting.
Here's the floor for Hopkins. He'll get what he got in week 6, 9 for 71. So something in 71. 7 for 71, 6 for 71. He's got 15 targets, 12 targets each of his last 2 weeks, 9 targets against Minnesota. They're trying to get him involved. That goes without saying. So if you're telling me that he's been a disappointment, goes without saying. But 9, 15, 12, whatever that averages out to over a 3-week span, you'll take that from any receiver. 12. With the hope that it
13.
Okay.
No, 12, you're right.
There you go. You'll take that from any receiver with the talent that he has. So if he's going to get 12 targets on a week-to-week basis, especially against Detroit, especially against Jacksonville,
right?
He'll start putting up numbers.
Right. I've got him as number one this week.
This is a buy-low opportunity on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Okay, guys. For Denver, what do you make of the running backs?
They're going to use both.
They love Booker.
They do love Booker, but CJ's good, too.
I hate this.
Can I tell you what happened? Just a theory. At the end of the first half, they had the chance to still run some plays. You saw this, Heath?
Yeah.
End of the first half, they had a chance to run some plays. CJ Anderson was pissed on the field and did not hide his emotions, because he probably thought either A, he could break one, or B, he could just add some more numbers to his stats. Whatever the case, or just, you know, by the team just trying to pile on numbers.
Right.
They come out of halftime, he doesn't see the field for the first two drives. It's Devontae Booker. And I wonder if Gary Kubiak said something to him in the locker room. One of the coaches said something to him in the locker room. Like, you can't do that. If we're going to make a decision, you have to abide by the decision.
Right.
And yes, we know what we're doing. And so with his job just being a little tenuous to begin with, I don't think you're getting away from him by far. But you have to be nervous as a CJ Anderson owner that if Devontae Booker continues to do this, there are going to be some drives where he just gets going and Anderson stuck on the bench.
Right. It'll be the hot hand thing like we've talked about. And this isn't a case where CJ Anderson got his 100 yards and a touchdown and the Broncos rested him and let Devontae Booker
take over. They did a little in the fourth quarter.
They had the same amount of carries in the fourth quarter. Last two drives, though, if you look at it. But it's not like either one of them did anything great in the fourth quarter either. And Devontae Booker's touchdown came in the third. And maybe CJ Anderson gets those carries at the goal line if he doesn't score earlier in the game. Maybe not. But I think they're going to keep using both of these guys, and when they've got good matchups like this, you're going to see a lot of them.
This is Atlanta. Same situation.
I think that the good thing, if you're a CJ Anderson owner, is that he was very good last night. This is the best he's played. It was the best they've looked in run blocking, other than the fact that they hold on every play, and they're finally starting to call some of them.
They also still used him for pass protection. So if they are in a game where they're chasing points, he's probably going to be the better of the two.
And if any of this scares you and you have CJ Anderson, you can consider selling high. I don't give him away, but sell particularly high on him. And I think the guy in your league that's got Devontae Booker, if it's not you, would gladly pony up one of his best running backs just to lock up that Broncos backfield.
All right, Demaryius Thomas is averaging about 1.2, 1.3 fewer catches per game than last year, 16.5 fewer yards per game. But he's got 4 touchdowns this year compared to 6 all of last year. Right now, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders are right around 20-21 in weekly scoring. So when you take out the byes and just games played and fantasy points per game, they're around 20th. How do you value Sanders and Thomas rest of season?
Good number two receivers. Thomas better than Sanders.
Yeah, he's number one this week just by default.
Yeah, that's right.
They're both close to number one.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to talk about the waiver wire, some of the news and notes, the drop-o-meter. But also, I got a question for you people out there. Do you want some new dinner options, some awesome meals to cook and enjoy at home, like these spiced pork burgers with pickled beets and cabbage slaw that I made and had last night. Or how about some seared salmon and fall vegetable hash with apple brown butter dressing? These meals, they're so good, they're so different, and they're really easy to make too. So don't worry, don't fret. Just go to blueapron.com/FFT. blueapron.com/FFT. First of all, you get 3 free meals. That's a pretty sweet deal. But you're also getting the best ingredients, and the ingredients make the difference. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the country. You're just gonna get better ingredients. They take a lot of pride in that. And you know how much I love Blue Apron. I talk about it all the time. I really want you to enjoy it as much as I do. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/FFT. That's blueapron.com/FFT, as in fantasy football today. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Your news and notes. Arian Foster is retiring. Cleveland said they will not trade Joe Thomas, their left tackle. San Francisco is looking to trade their left tackle Joe Staley, according to Pro Football Talk. And Pro Football Talk reporting that Philadelphia has inquired about Torrey Smith. Adam Schefter saying that the San Francisco is looking to trade Torrey Smith. So quickly on that, if they have like a fire sale, they trade Staley, they trade a wide receiver. Does that worry you for Carlos Hyde?
A lot. Yeah. You're taking away his best offensive lineman.
Maybe they could trade him.
Maybe they could trade Carlos Hyde.
They're not, but
but if someone ponied up for him.
No one's ponying up for running back. Unless
you don't think the Vikings,
unless you're the Colts,
could give up a third round pick. I don't know if they'd take a third round pick for Hyde. I'm just
the Vikings traded all their picks for Sam Bradford.
Yeah, they did give up a lot of their draft picks already for Sammy. But if they wanted a running back,
they're not trading for Carlos Hyde.
Nobody's trading for Carlos Hyde. Tevin Coleman likely out this week, could miss a few weeks with a hamstring.
Maybe the Falcons will trade for Carlos Hyde.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And LeSean McCoy is questionable. Should LeSean,
maybe the Bills will trade for
should
Carlos
LeSean McCoy owners. Should LeSean McCoy owners be looking for somebody on the waiver wire this week?
I would expect so. They can't be stupid enough to do this 2 weeks in a row. I'm sorry that I called them stupid.
Hunter Henry is in the concussion protocol. They're at Denver this week. He
maybe the
play.
Chargers will trade for... All right, I'll stop.
All right, is Antonio Gates... I don't know his ownership, but he wasn't in the
65%.
Waiver. 65%. What is it?
65%.
All right. So what do you think? I mean, got a lot of targets last week. Is he a guy that...
starting him against Denver.
No,
I know Henry played great against them 2 weeks
maybe
ago,
but... in PPR, if you were really desperate, you could start him against Denver. Because, I mean, he can catch a four-yard pass.
Wouldn't you rather go with the smart hat over Antonio Gates?
Yes.
Fedorowicz. Very good. Very good. The smart hat. Fedorowicz. Geno Smith tore his ACL, so Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting. Julius Thomas, Allen Hurns, Delanie Walker, Tajay Sharp, they're all questionable for the Thursday game. Who misses the game? Other than half of America.
This is a game for fantasy football owners only, and we'll be miserable watching.
Breaking news, the Jags are probably going to go off on Thursday night.
Let's hope.
Allen Robinson had a very interesting quote this morning I think you'll like.
Is it from this morning or is it from earlier, from after the game?
Say I've fired my hands and I bought new ones.
It may have been from after the game. It's in an article that I believe came out today. When you hear the atmosphere when we step on the field, when we go to punt or before halftime, when Blake takes a knee and you hear booing, it's kind of funny to me. It's funny we get our best home field advantage when we go to Wembley.
Ooh. Ooh, wow.
That's a great way to get the fan base on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't really... They haven't really earned the support. They got to do a little bit better. This is like Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of complaining about the Jets losing faith in him. Well, anyway, Thomas, Hurns, Delanie Walker. Let's forget about Sharp, but do you think those guys play?
So right now, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Russell Wilson wants to settle overtime with a field goal, like a kickoff. Not really a kickoff, just... One field goal.
He's going to start changing the rules.
I like ties. I got no problem with it.
By the way, I can't believe you still think that the game was good Sunday.
It was great.
That was
I really enjoyed it.
Loved it.
One of the worst football games ever. That offensive line play was so bad between those two teams.
You're talking about two great defensive lines.
They made those defenses look good. No, that game was awful.
That game was great.
Awful. Hold on, I'll take it back. The game ended in an exciting way because of how it unfolded. The play from the first four quarters was completely terrible.
Carson Palmer threw for like 340 yards.
Okay.
Super.
And
he played five quarters.
That's what you remember about that game? Is him throwing the ball that
much? I remember great defense. I remember two great defenses.
Did you watch the two offensive lines play?
I watched the defensive line play.
Did you watch the two offensive lines play?
I watched the defensive lines play.
Awful.
You're talking about like what? You expect them to just bulldoze Seattle?
No, but I'd like to see at least something competitive offensively.
I thought it was great. I thought it was interesting. We don't get games like that too often.
Anyway, DJ Williams, who works for us here, mostly on some college football stuff, but I heard him on the radio yesterday say that he thinks what they should do is you give every team four plays from the 2-yard line. You can score four touchdowns, four field goals, whatever you want to do. You get four plays, and that's how the game is decided.
That's all. I like that.
Yeah, I do too.
It's exciting.
You know, I wonder, because you know the high school overtime rule is they get it at the 25, or even college, so they get it at the 25, and then they just have to basically try to score and then go back and forth. And I don't like that, but I wonder with the way that football is going, how long it is before that's just what football is. Like, we're done with all the plays in between the 20, because the only reason anybody's watching is for points.
I kind of like college overtime.
I do too.
Especially,
but the NFL can't do that because of time constraints on their games.
Ah, interesting. Okay, yeah, college football game. I mean, you're lucky if it's 3 hours and 40 minutes before overtime. Do you expect the following players? Dwayne Washington at Houston.
Not yet. Hopeful.
Theo Riddick at Houston.
Not yet.
No.
Jordan Reed.
Not yet.
Hopeful.
Doug Martin.
No.
Maybe the Buccaneers can trade for
Dante Moncrief.
Not yet, but getting closer. What's his ownership percentage at now?
62. It just like creeps up like a percentage.
Yeah.
That's a priority there. So if you don't love anyone, Dante Moncrief. And Corey Coleman against the Jets.
No.
He hasn't even been cleared to practice yet.
Okay. I think we'll skip the drop-o-meter for now. Let's get to the guys to actually add, and we'll come back to who to drop. So Jamie has five players who are owned in more than 65% of leagues. So this is just for shallower leagues, guys that you could look at. Dak Prescott, he's got Philadelphia, who allows the fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Alex Smith, he is at Indianapolis. Devontae Booker, 71%. Tyrell Williams, 75% owned at Denver this week. So that's not good, but it's more of a long-term thing. And Cole Beasley, who has 3 touchdowns in his last 2 games. Who would you rather own in a shallow league, Cole Beasley or Tyrell Williams?
Williams, Tyrell.
Yeah, because Dez coming back, I think that takes a little bit of luster off of what Beasley's done.
But I love getting Dak for the bye weeks. It's a tough matchup for him this week against Philadelphia, but he's been fairly consistent, as Jamie noted in his notes. But then next week, he's at Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yum.
Now, do you still think it's worth stashing Romo?
Nope.
Not right now.
What are the odds that they're going to turn back to Romo?
The first bad game that Dak has?
It's maybe this week.
Yeah.
I think they should.
It's interesting because you know that the Dallas camp pushed out the news yesterday about him not being, or over the weekend, whatever it was, him not being ready to go. Mm-hmm. At some point in the next few days, we're going to get the Romo side of things where it's,
He's ready to play.
Ready to go.
Just waiting to get cleared by a doctor.
It's like Jay Cutler's thumb miraculously healing as soon as Brian Hoyer breaks his arm.
Right.
Like, oh, he's good to go now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the quarterbacks listed here, again, I mean, if you have a vomit bag, maybe you want to get that. Ryan Fitzpatrick at Cleveland, Brock Osweiler against Detroit. Again, like I said, both of these guys are facing opponents that have allowed 20 or more fantasy points to every quarterback they've faced, Fitzpatrick and Osweiler.
I wanted to play a quick game.
Okay.
Because I don't think we've said what their ownership percentage is yet. I think everybody should try and guess what Brock Osweiler, mainly just him, yeah, Osweiler's ownership percentage is.
Without Fitzpatrick's
looking.
Too.
Well, Fitzpatrick got benched, so his is definitely going to be down. Everybody's going to guess low. But I bet people think Brock Osweiler?
Yes.
What did Brock Osweiler's start percentage become, or ownership percentage? What do you think it is? Do you know?
I know what it is.
We all know it is. So everybody at home, take a guess.
The guessing game would be better if we could hear someone guess.
51.
You can't hear them?
No.
I would have guessed like 12%.
18.
I think it's right around 32.
It's exactly 32. And you know that because you're looking at the notes that Jamie made for us.
Way too
high.
He's
owning a third of leagues.
Yeah, way too high.
What the hell?
And the other guy you can look at, Trevor Siemian, he's got San Diego. How about Jay Cutler? I mean, he's got Minnesota, but he's better than them, right?
No. I mean,
yes.
Like in a throwing contest, he's better.
So, I wouldn't start this week over those guys, though.
No, not at all.
No chance.
But he is better. He's a better quarterback.
And we don't know. Look, Heath's point is very valid. It's amazing that his injury is healed, but he's ready to go, but we don't know how healthy he actually is. I mean, he still could be less than 100%, but less than 100%, Jay Cutler is better than that 600% Matt Barkley.
Jay Cutler never actually goes to 100%. Like, he peaks right around 87.
I'm just thinking shallow leagues. What if Tyrod Taylor is available against New England?
I would start him over all of these guys.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd start him over Osweiler and Fitzpatrick.
Not if Goodwin's out and Woods is out,
right,
and McCoy's out against New England, that they beat the Patriots. They are going to blast the Bills in Buffalo. There is no chance. That's why Tyrod Taylor is on the cut list this week. Then they have Seattle and then a bye week. There's no way you're starting Tyrod Taylor this week.
What about Carson Wentz at Dallas?
No, thank you.
Okay. All right, good. Let's move on to the running backs. Oh, Team Name Tuesday is coming up also. Got some good ones. But here's the running backs. Matt Asiata, 51% owned. Jerick McKinnon's a little banged up. Why aren't we, head over heels right now for Matt Asiata at Chicago this week, then Detroit, then at Washington? Well, Chicago I'm not sure about, but that's a pretty good stretch there.
I think there's still...
We don't know if McKinnon's out.
Right. Like, if we knew for sure McKinnon was out, then I think we'd be a lot more excited about Asiata.
But... If Asiata and McKinnon both play,
there's still a chance for Asiata.
I think Asiata is going to be better.
Asiata over McKinnon.
Yeah.
Yes. You should absolutely go get Asiata. But I think to Adam's question about being head over heels, or however you phrased it.
Yeah, I did.
If McKinnon's there, I think that just lowers it a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Should I sing Tears for Fears right now? Head over heels.
Yeah, no, you know you want.
There's
to.
Also the cockroach that could still be there too.
All right, next up, Dwayne Washington and Zach Zenner. They're at Houston this week, and we're just hoping Washington plays. Chris Thompson and Rob Kelly, we've spoken about them. Peyton Barber, Tampa Bay running back. He had 12 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown at San Francisco, and they've got Oakland this week. Kadeem Carey has been pretty good the last couple weeks. 10 carries for 48 yards and then 9 carries for 50 yards, but they have Minnesota and then a bye, and then at Tampa Bay and then at the Giants. And we actually talked about that with Jordan Howard. Really bad stretch for running backs for the Bears.
I almost put him on the drop list.
Jordan Howard?
He's on the drop-off meter.
His value has L-tankoed.
Well, because at some point, Langford's coming back soon.
All right, 0 to 10 for Howard.
I don't even care. I don't know if I want a Bears running back.
No, but just in terms of, owning Howard.
Four.
There's more of a competition there.
I don't want to drop him just in case he's still the guy when that offensive line gets better.
Give a number!
What'd you say, four?
Yes.
Yeah. My number's going to be whatever Heath's number is.
Okay.
So I don't have to give a number. My opinion could be completely different.
And then you got Justin Forsett, Kenneth Dixon, and Paul Perkins. I want to approach the show a little bit differently than we usually do on Tuesdays because I just don't think it's that good of a waiver wire week. I'd rather talk about who to drop. I'd rather read some emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. So that kind of explains why I'm giving it a little bit shorter of a look. Let's go to the wide receivers. By the way, you can drop Eddie Lacy if you have to, 83%. You can drop D'Angelo Williams, Arian Foster, obviously, DeAndre Washington. They're all guys who are owned in too many leagues. Wide receivers, Davante Adams and Ty Montgomery are the top two here. What do you think Montgomery's role is? He had 10 catches last week, and let's not forget that Aaron Rodgers threw 56 passes, which is very unusual. But Montgomery also had 9 carries last week and 3 carries the week before. So what do you think Montgomery's role will be?
The same.
I think he might get a few less carries.
I would agree.
I don't know that for sure. I could be wrong. But
I'd ballpark at 6.
Yeah, I think Nile Davis gets a few more carries, and if he sucks, then maybe Montgomery goes back to getting the same exact number. But I would guess Davis gets a few more, Montgomery gets a few less.
I like Montgomery a lot this week because Atlanta stinks covering guys out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at it from what their numbers have been, if that's where he's going to line up, forget about his position designation, he's going to be good. Same with Cobb. Those guys spent a lot of time in the last couple games lining up next to Aaron Rodgers or, offset of Aaron Rodgers. And you could see just dump off, dump off, dump off. We saw even Melvin Gordon look good as a receiver last week.
And I think
you could probably even agree to that one, right?
Yes. He made somebody miss in the open field.
Yeah.
It was nice to see. And that the Packers, you'd think that they've put enough out on film that defenses will be able to scheme and shut that down. But against Green Bay, if you do that, you're leaving yourself wide open to get beat deep.
Yeah, we all
I think the Falcons will just try and play the cover two against them. and take their chances in the red zone against the Packers.
And we've all got Montgomery as a top 20 receiver this week, I think.
Yeah.
Some more interesting wide receivers, better group than the running backs, I'd say. Jamison Crowder, who has three straight games with, before last week, he had three straight games with either three or four targets, but he got nine last week and 108 yards. Brandon LaFell, four catches, 83 yards, and a touchdown on five targets. Four touchdowns in his last three games. He'll be in London to face the Redskins. Quincy Anunua, who I mentioned earlier, facing the Browns. And then we'll stop there. So Crowder, LaFell, Anunua, how would you rank them guys for this week?
Is Jordan Reed playing? If not, I think he's the clear class. I think Crowder's the clear class of this group. I think he'll be targeted heavily over the middle. Cincinnati's had quite a bit of success shutting down outside wide receivers. We talked about that last week. So I would go Crowder for sure.
I would too. And I would take Anunua second because of the matchup more than anything else. And he showed off some wheels on that touchdown last week. So there's a little bit of potential with him. I like him as a bye week receiver. Definitely better than LaFell.
Okay. And then we've got Dante Moncrief, Anquan Boldin at Houston. Jamie, you want to?
I like Boldin too.
Jamie, you want to talk about Boldin, 44% owned?
He's been great. I mean, you know, since Ebron's gone out, he's been their tight end essentially. But you know, we talked about Golden Tate and how he's come along the last couple games. Bolden's right there with him, and he scored the game-winning touchdown. There's a great rapport going on right now between Stafford and Boldin. And so I think if you're looking at it, I think all three of those guys, LaFell, Anunua, and Boldin, are all worth starting in three receiver leagues without question.
Cool. And then Bolden's production, you do think, is tied to Ebron?
To an extent. I mean, I wonder if you're the Lions at this point, you don't mess with what's working. And Houston, the Kareem Jackson left the game last night. Bouye, is that how you pronounce it?
Bouye.
Bouye. He left the game last night as well. So that's two more members of their secondary, which is already beat up. I mean, Matt Stafford could have a field day in that game at Houston.
See, tangent alert. What bothers me is, you know, you probably watch the Detroit-Washington game and you see two touchdowns in the final 2 minutes or whatever, and Stafford just carves them up. Right, like on that last possession, he was terrific. And then you watch the Seattle-Arizona game and this game sucks, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I take a different approach. There's a lot of what Matthew Stafford did in the NFL these days. You don't see amazing defense being played against good offenses like you did on that Sunday night game.
Those aren't good offenses, though.
Disagree.
What has showed you over the last month that those are good offenses?
They have, Arizona has arguably the best running back in football. I would say the second best.
They have good players, but they're not playing well.
But, okay, I mean, that's a valid point, but they're not playing poorly. They're not awful.
Well, no, they're going up against great defenses. They're going to be terrible, but they're just not good offenses right now. I hope they get better. But they're just not. I mean, Arizona's a mess.
Seattle's last four games, they've scored 37, 27, 26, and 6 points. So I think that you can definitely make the case that their offense is entertaining and good and all those wonderful things. And then you go to Arizona, their last five games, 18, 13, 33 against San Francisco, 28 against the Jets, and a lot of that was David Johnson.
It counts, though.
And then six against Seattle. I think the difference is that Arizona's passing game isn't holding up its end of the bargain.
Sure.
And that makes their offense not quite as good.
They need to get John Brown back.
They need to get Carson Palmer's shoulder back.
All right, more wide receivers here. Marquise Lee, these are for deeper leagues, and then the Coleman's a stash, obviously. But Marquise Lee had eight targets and 107 yards on Sunday. Cordarrelle Patterson has been more involved. He's had three straight games with six or seven targets. Patterson's 2% owned. And then Russell Shepard did it. He got the six targets against San Francisco, and he scored. Seven out of eight against the 49ers, who have gotten six targets, have scored at the wide receiver position. Who excites you out of Marquise Lee, Corey Coleman, Cordarrelle Patterson, or Russell Shepard?
Want to win a trivia bet with your friends?
Yeah.
Who leads the Jaguars in receptions?
Marquise Lee.
By three receptions. He almost leads them in receiving. You want to win another bet with your friends? Who leads the Jaguars in receiving yards?
Allen Hurns.
By 8 yards over Marquise Lee. I like Lee a little bit.
He's been pretty useless, though, until last week.
Well that's six catches. He's still last
right,
three games, right?
Right. 2 weeks ago it was 6 for 61. Last week, 7 for 107. And he does have that game-breaking speed where you put him out in space, makes a man miss, and he's off to the races.
More PPR guy? In your mind?
Sure.
Oh, for sure.
He's a bench guy, no matter what. But as a bye week replacement in PPR, he's not bad. He's better than Hearns.
Cool.
He might overtake Hearns. I wonder what the, I'm going to go look up what the snap count was like for these guys. Cause I can't help but think that maybe.
But when did Hearns get hurt last week?
Did he actually leave the game or did he just play through?
I don't know.
All right, guys. The drop list for Jamie at wide receiver, Sammy Coates. Are you a little hesitant to do that one? He's 81% owned.
I mean, it depends what your roster is, but in the vacuum, no.
I don't feel good starting him until Roethlisberger's.
I wouldn't drop him for Marquise Lee.
You would or would not?
Would not.
You drop him for Devontae Adams?
Yes.
All right. That's Sammy Coates. Cameron Meredith. Would you drop Cameron Meredith for Devontae Adams?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Would you drop him for Jamison Crowder?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Devontae Parker is a drop. John Brown, 68% owned. What if he comes? Could he play this week, John Brown?
Yep. Yes. Bruce Arians has actually sounded like they were confident that he might.
Ooh, okay.
So they think he's going to be ready to practice on Wednesday. But this sounds like yesterday they had him do some like intense weight lifting to see if his body responded today. They think they've figured out the right mixture of oxygen to help his body recovery. So I think he'll be back. Good matchup against Carolina. I'm not ready to drop him yet.
Dare I say add John Brown?
I would wait until Wednesday, but if he practices Wednesday, absolutely.
I feel like I'm definitely taking the Packers receivers over John Brown. Moncrief, I would take over John Brown because I'm not starting John Brown this week anyway. I'm taking a wait and see approach with him.
I see. I would start him over Crowder.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
If Jordan Reed's out, I would. Jordan Reed's
I don't know
out,
if Palmer's got the arm strength to get
right
the ball on
the
field.
Right.
But even like before he got hurt, we saw him like he was really starting to take a chunk of the targets. And it's not like he's not just
well,
a deep guy.
Well, he had the
guy.
Two games before Palmer got hurt, but that's also coinciding with him getting hurt. And now you have the information that they finally figured out maybe what he's dealing with.
Right.
The sickle cell trait. Is it when would they shut him down?
No,
I don't think they're heading in that direction.
I mean, Bruce Arians said in a piece yesterday that they've figured out what they need to do, and they've got him on an oxygen hydration regimen right after
right,
the practice.
Right, but if this doesn't work,
right,
then what's the next step?
Well, that's the pessimistic approach, but if you're going to be optimistic about it, we're saying if he plays, he said wait till Wednesday.
14-man roster, I don't know if you're carrying John Brown at this point.
14-man, not a 14-team league.
Yeah.
Right. All right, tight ends. Vernon Davis, CJ Smart Hat, Fedorowicz, Jack Doyle, and Cameron Brate. They are available and on the drop list. Dennis Pitta, Zach Miller, and Zach Ertz. So, all right, I think we kind of covered this at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I really like Brate this week against the Raiders. When do they get to play at home?
Who, Oakland?
Yeah.
They are back at home. Week 9
like,
against Denver.
Like for the rest of the year?
And then a bye. And then they have a home game against Houston in week 11, but it's actually in Mexico.
That's a terrible, terrible schedule.
Right.
Are they staying in Florida this week?
They are.
Yeah.
Can we go?
Oh, Jack. No, well.
They're in Tampa.
Del Rio will be in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
On Saturday, he'll be in Jacksonville. Right. The Suns playing football.
DST streamers, the Jets at Cleveland. They're 31% owned. The Titans against the Jaguars on Thursday. And the Panthers against Arizona. Would you start any of them over Seattle at New Orleans?
The Jets, for sure. Maybe the Titans. That's close.
Would you drop Seattle for the Jets?
No.
No.
I'm worried about the Jets being a great streamer. I would go with the Seahawks.
What are you worried about?
They're not a great defense. They're not good.
They're playing the Browns.
Kevin Hogan starting.
Is it Hogan or is it going to be McCown? Could it be Kessler?
What's the major weakness of the Jets?
Their pass defense.
The deep ball.
It's terrible.
It's the deep ball.
Right.
They've got maybe Josh McCown coming back with their best receiver has a bulky hamstring and they don't have any other
receivers. Josh McCown coming back. Is it one quarter, two quarters?
Right.
Four quarters.
I don't think the Browns have the weapons to exploit what the Jets can't do.
Right.
They got a good coach though who will try and do it.
Right. And I don't, like, if you're in a really deep league, I don't hate Jacksonville. It's Thursday night football. Mariota's not been consistent at all. At some point, somebody on Jacksonville defense is going to make a play.
Okay. I'm going to take a look at the schedule here, see if there's any more I can throw at you.
I may have had one more in my article.
No, I really can't. I really can't. Cincinnati, they're probably very owned after last week. I like Minnesota at the Bears on Monday. I like the Vikings. Scale!
Are they available in your league?
They're not, unfortunately.
I like how you become a Vikings fan and they lose.
I know, that's amazing. I know. I'm very sorry about that. We talked about my sorcery on yesterday's show. And kickers, if you want to stream a kicker, Matt Prater, Blair Walsh, Will Lutz. Let's go to the drop-o-meter. Which would you rather do first, the drop-o-meter or Team Name Tuesday?
Drop-o-meter.
Drop-o-meter.
Oh, definitely.
Should I put Team Name Tuesday on the drop-o-meter?
I think we're at that point, but let's give it a chance this week. We'll see.
You can't drop
we'll
Team Name
Tuesday. Kind of team names.
There's too many buys this week. You can't drop Team Name Tuesday. All right.
Everybody likes it, though.
It's the best. All right, Dave on the drop-o-meter wants to know, 0 to 10, 0 is no way, 10 is drop immediately. Jordan Matthews.
7.
4.
Did you just say Fowler?
Flower.
Fowler.
That was Ben Stiller and Something About Mary? Or...
Favre?
Yeah.
Jamie, you got a number?
I'll say 6. When are you starting him at this point?
It's Jordan Matthews. How about... Jordan Howard.
We answered this one.
4. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Fowler.
You did. That's right. How about Hunter Henry from Edward?
0.0.
Okay.
Well, if he's out, you got to stream. It's going to be, I'd say 5.
You're not cutting him.
Yeah. 5.
This is drop-o-meter, not bench-o-meter.
If I have to find a starter and the two worst players on my bench are Jordan Howard and Hunter Henry, I would drop Henry.
You got to cut one. You'd drop Henry?
Over Howard, yes.
I would.
Yeah, I would drop Howard there, but I think if it's, you know, with all the bye weeks, you're probably going to have some tough decisions. So Hunter Henry's going to be cutting a lot of leaf.
This is from T. Mitz. Eli and Shepard.
10-10.
I was going to say like 8 for Shepard, but to hell with it. Besides, I'm taking all of Heath's numbers anyway.
Oh, right. Okay, let's go to Steel King 6, Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, I can't see. I mean, I understand why he's been awful. I can't see it this week with all these buys and him playing the Colts. I feel like you're chasing bad results.
He stinks. he stinks, and his quarterback isn't great, and this is a team that wants to run the football.
It's happened to kind of him last year, though. He was just brutal.
Off the bad start. This is about the time he got going.
Yeah, and then he was good week after week after week for a while.
There's just not – he can't be consistent because there's not enough volume. But I just think – and I'm – with 6 teams on a bye and a matchup against the Colts,
they could be chasing points this week.
You're probably not. You're probably starting him.
Maclin. Okay. Let's go to our next one. Let's go to our next 7. One. Stefon Diggs is from Todd. Stefon Diggs.
1-3. Not ready yet. And I think he could have a good game this week if all that's left for that Vikings run game is Asiata and Hillman. Maybe they get him rolling. Bears have had trouble tackling.
All right. Kurt, Will Fuller.
0. I like him this week too.
Oh yeah, no way I'm dropping Fuller. He's gonna be, he may be a top 20 wide receiver.
I hope the idiots in my leagues drop Fuller so I can pick him up.
Idiots.
Like the one wearing the turquoise shirt or the blue striped shirt.
This is from Izzy.
Or the, hold on.
Just guess hoodie. It's always
black
a hoodie.
Hoodie.
It's winter, dude.
It's paradise.
You guys are sitting there in your little bubble in paradise down in South Florida. Yeah. I realize that for me, I mean, if it gets colder than like 65, I hate it. There is not going to be one nice day for me in New York for the next 6 months. Like,
yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
So I'll be wearing a lot of hoodies.
Why don't you call for a terrible winter and then it'll be like 65 degrees every day?
The thing is, I don't like, this is the guy. How are you going to notice?
Like, it gets cold in the house.
Not going to look nice out your window.
It gets cold in the house.
You have a furnace, right?
We have a fireplace. Do you think I actually opened the blinds?
The cat hides under the covers.
I do not open the blinds. Very rarely. Last one. Or two more from Izzy. Matt Jones.
He's benchable for sure, but not cuttable.
Yeah, 2.
Orlando says TJ Yeldon.
He could be cuttable. 5. I'm rooting for him. I want him to be the guy in Jacksonville, but I don't know what they're doing.
5.
All right, a few more.
I'll say 6.
Let's go real quick here. Jerick McKinnon.
2.
3.
Russell 0. Wilson.
0.
Yeah, -1.
He's our start of the week this week.
Ooh. 0. Saints. But, never mind. DeSean Jackson.
Do it.
You can't bonanza this early in the week.
I wouldn't do that to Jamie.
You've already gone to the Saints well too many times.
Yeah,
I think there needs to be punishment for Adam when he bonanza something and he gets and he jinxes it.
Fine.
Maybe I should have him sing a song.
No one wants to hear him sing.
But seriously, was Redskins Lions that bad? Like Crowder was good.
Because everybody started Crowder.
Tate and thing. Marvin Jones were good. Cousins and Stafford were acceptable.
They were.
Cousins
were
good.
Cousins was good.
Cousins was fine. Stafford wasn't acceptable.
It was a bad week for quarterbacks.
Doesn't matter. You jinxed the game. You tortured us all. Here's what's going to happen. You can go ahead and bonanza a game. But if it doesn't work out and you do your stupid witchcraft, you're reading an apology that I'm writing on the air.
Fine. But did you know that Matthew Stafford finished as a top 12 quarterback last week?
Did he get 20 points?
He got 19. He was top 12.
He sucked. Okay. Thanks, Adam.
So, let's read some emails. Oh, DeSean Jackson. Did you give me a number?
Like 2, 3.
Sure.
He's a rock on my bench.
Team Name Tuesday, and then I don't know if we'll have time for emails, so we'll just do Team Name Tuesday.
Oh, so let's just do Team Name Tuesday.
Yeah, let's do it quick. This is from Andrew. He's a Texans fan. Stuck between a Brock and a hard place. I like it. How about maybe just Brock and a hard place?
How about we read some emails?
Joe has a Halloween-themed Team Name Tuesday. Double, double, Doyle and Trouble.
Boo!
I would egg his house.
Can I just boo through this whole segment?
Mallory says,
boo. Everybody else's.
Marvin Jones's diary. I think that's funny.
I think when you're doing this,
you should
read the names really slowly because everyone is fast forwarding.
James Duff says, Zenner, Zenner, chicken dinner.
Oh my lord.
All right.
No.
This is from Chris.
Like, are there actual good ones that you're skipping over to read the bad ones?
Chris in Chicago, Jordan Howard the Duck. And he says, that's an 80s film.
No, I've seen it.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it too. I love that movie.
The new name of this segment is Terrible Team Name Tuesday.
This is from Sean. Leviandale Industries. I screwed that up. Leviandale Industries.
Terrible Whoa. Team Name Tuesday.
All right, this is from Brian in South Jersey. Chef
Boo.
Chef Gordon Rams D. Chef Gordon Rams D.
He gets points for creativity.
And this is from Evan Hoovler. Gets me to sing. A noon will bites the dust.
Also clever.
Not bad.
That's the best one.
All right, we can do emails.
Hold on. Jamie, can you name one team name from Team Name Tuesday? Go ahead, Adam.
All right, let me find the emails in this mess of notes here. Where are the emails, guys? All right, I got it. Email from Dominic. No, Cody from Wisconsin. This is a great finish to the show. Grade the trade. Give up Melvin Gordon. Get Brandon Marshall and Tevin Coleman in a PPR league.
I like it. Nice selling high on Melvin Gordon.
I like it a lot. B+.
I don't grade trades. It's a pass.
Okay. This is from Anthony. Who should I drop, Justin Forsett or Chris Ivory?
Forsett. He may get cut the minute that Washington's healthy and Reddick's healthy.
This is from Eric. Eric, where's Eric from, Dave?
Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Grade the trade. Give up Gurley. Get Cooks. Standard scoring league. Give up Gurley. Get Cooks.
I'd still rather have Gurley.
I think it's almost a complete wash. C.
This is from John. Where's John from?
Blue Springs, Missouri.
Oh, it's a nice place.
Give up C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker. Get T.Y. Hilton in a PPR league. I like that.
I think it's a fair deal. If we were grading trades, that would be an even trade.
Does Hilton take a hit, though, when Montgomery's back?
Yeah, but doesn't C.J. Anderson already take a hit?
Yeah, potentially.
And this is from John. He says, Dear Big Smooth, Rain Man, 3D, and Jesus Shuttlesworth. I only know.
He Got Game, right?
Well, are they all from He Got Game?
Yep. Yeah. Right. Well, Jesus Shuttlesworth is. That was, sure. Yeah, I don't know if these are all characters from different basketball movies.
Rain Man's not a basketball movie, right?
But it's spelled REIGN.
Oh, is that a basketball movie?
Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. We clearly don't know. It's been like 20 years since
I thought these were all names that people used to call me when I used to play basketball.
They called me Hawk.
All right. He's got Matt Jones, McKinnon, I think Derrick Henry, or maybe Hunter Henry, and Kobe Fleener. Who would you drop for Booker, Gillis Lee, Chris Thompson, Devontae Adams, Montgomery, or Alfred Blue? Who's the most droppable out of Matt Jones, McKinnon, Henry, and Fleener?
Fleener.
Is it, though? Because what if Henry doesn't play? You're going to need Fleener.
If Henry doesn't play?
If Hunter Henry is
We don't even know which Henry.
You're going to start Fleener against Seattle, though?
If I need a tight end,
I'll start
yes.
Fleener at home. Fleener at home is going to be good.
No, I would not.
I would prefer not to start Kobe Fleener.
So what's the answer here?
If these guys are the guys that are on waivers, I would say this is a 12-team league. I would take the chance with dropping Matt Jones.
Matt Jones. Interesting.
But are you picking up Adams or Montgomery?
Well, he's looking to add depth at running back, so I'd get Booker or Gillis Lee first.
According to Adam Schefter.
Who's that?
Dante Moncrief is returning to practice this week. According to Adam Schefter, Ladarius Green is expected to return to practice today.
Oh, boy. Did he say anything about Carlos Hyde getting traded?
According to Adam Schefter, no.
All right, go get Ladarius Green or no?
If you have extra roster spots, absolutely.
If you like being disappointed, go for it.
Well, okay. All right, that's
it. We don't know when he's going to come back. We don't know when Ben Roethlisberger is going
to
come back.
Well, he's practicing today. They've got
three weeks. It's a three-week window to bring him back. Great.
Goodbye, guys.
He's going to come back and save fantasy football.
This just in. Carlos Hyde traded.
To where?
To the Dolphins. They need another running back with the Falcons.
I can't wait for all the Carlos Hyde team name Tuesdays.
All right, now really, goodbye.
Hyde and C.
Imagine the Chargers made a good running back.